Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
We're back on Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. Find us every Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Rumble, Rockfin, and my Twitter /X. That's at Garth Goldsmith. Continuing our conversation with the great and really upbeat Charlie Robinson of the Macro Aggressions Podcast. Check him out, everybody. That's it. That's the guy. That's the guy he met. And you know, it's very interesting to see. And he was just, you know, going into his senior year in college. But so they try these things. You know, they had their connections with these guys. They try to take out the liabilities and stuff. But let's switch over. Very good opportunity here, Charlie, to just talk and suggest that people go to your feed, check out one of your latest posts, because you were on with the Union of the Unwanted today, and you guys had a really cool conversation. I just found it so great. I was eating my lunch listening to you guys. It was great, you know, and I just was like, man, I wish I was in a pub with these guys having a sandwich. It was just so much fun. But it was also very substantive. And, you know, coming from my script writing background, a lot of people have accused, not a lot, but I've occasionally been accused of putting something in a story that, you know, maybe I got fed from somebody, or, you know, it's some, what's the term they use for that? Predictive programming, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just a guy working on stories, and so a long time ago, about 7 years before the so-called pandemic, I wrote a story called Whitechapel, and it was about a pandemic. It was in a collection. It was in an anthology called Chiral Mad 2. And I've actually read the story here. It's about a nurse who's in the Whitechapel region of London, somewhere in the future, and they're working with some weird thing they call the phenomenon. And the phenomenon is like it's some outbreak. And so they have this whole thing where you can't go out. Shops are closed down. You have to have 6-foot distancing. I actually put it in the story. It was wild, dude. It was crazy. I'm like, what? But, you know, I was just extrapolating and imagining, which is what we would do, you know, at Star Trek or Outer Limits or whatever. Yeah. So, so people are like, how did you know that was going to happen? I'm like, you know, I was just thinking, like, what would the government do? You know, and I had false flags in there to stir up fear and stuff. And so you all were talking about some really cool stuff today, because I think it's a really good lesson to show. When we talk about things like the peace movement in the 60s with the baby boomers, right? Mm-hmm. I've often said, when I was a kid, I could tell that was bogus. The whole thing was bogus. It was just fake. And so I've had people who were, you know, they were boomers. Like, no, we were honest. And I was like, well, you were honest. But the setup wasn't honest. The setup was not honest. You know, the setup was done in order to pull certain people out of politics and insert other people into politics. And then they tested and they found that the people that they got inserted, they didn't like. So they got rid of them, like Nixon. So so tell us a little bit about some of that conversation. I want to show what that looks like if people want to go find it online and stuff like that, Charlie, because it was great.
So the Union of the Unwanted, I'll just give you a little bit of background on this. This was a podcast that I did with Sam Tripoli from Tinfoil Hat, Ricky Verandis from The Ripple Effect, and Midnight Mike from OBDM, our big dumb mouth, one of the funniest podcasts in the world. So the four of us did a show together back in 2021, and we were talking about censorship. And during the course of the call, Mike said, "We're like the Union of the Unwanted." And I was like, cool. Oh, man, that'd be such a great name for a band, you know, if we were in a band, you know, and Mike and Ricky were in bands and everything. And so what we decided was we were like, we should do that again. This is Sam talking about it on Rogan.
There you go. You want to play a second of this? We'll play a second of this. Let's check it out. Here we go. Yeah.
Okay. And it's a great show. You too.
Here's what's going to happen.
His own cabinet doesn't want
to. Here's what's going to happen.
Educate him.
We've talked about this on my podcast called The Union of the Unwanted. We talk about all this stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's a great show, you guys. So basically what's going to happen.
Union of the Unwanted.
The Union of the Unwanted. Ricky, Charlie, Midnight Mike. We talk, we get all the crazies to come together, all the people, and they break it down. And basically, dude,
yeah, that's awesome stuff.
Yeah.
And
Sammy.
It is good too. Yeah, so go ahead. Sorry, man.
I have to tell the backstory on that because Sam goes on, we get a text, and Sam goes, guys, I am so sorry. I just got done recording with Rogan, and he asked me at the end to mention all the podcasts I was in, and I forgot to mention our podcast.
Oh,
and we were like, are you kidding? Oh. And then we listened to it, and Sam lists off. Sam does 7 podcasts.
Yeah.
And he listed off 6 and he left ours off. And we were like, like, dude, he felt really bad. That was Rogan Fight Companion a couple weeks ago.
Oh, classic.
And he got a chance to go back on and we were like, better redeem yourself, sir.
Right, man.
And so he sold it pretty good on there. But what it is it's the four of us, and we start having these round table group discussions about, well, it started with censorship. And then we would invite some people on. Then we'll pick a topic, and we do it every 2 weeks. And we'll pick a topic. We do it Mondays live on Rockfin at 7 p.m. Eastern, if you want to check it out. It's like every other Monday. And, you know, we'll pick something like social media. And then we'll invite Martin from Rockfin, and we'll invite Jeremy Kaufman from Odyssey. And then we'll have everybody from the Float team over. We'll have Matt Raymer from Content Safe, you know, Kingsley from Float, the CEO. And we'll all get together and we'll talk about social media and how it all works best. We did that one time, and the conversation, you see that the CEO of Rockfin and the CEO of Odyssey are talking about how they could work together and streamline a process. And I was like,
yeah, man. And by the way, Jeremy lives like an hour away from me here in New Hampshire.
Exactly. Jeremy's on there and he's networking, you know, he's talking to these, and we realized the power of these conversations. And so it's a constantly rotating, changing group of people. And sometimes we start one place and we end up going another place. And that's totally cool too. And so this last episode, we started off by talking about, before we even hit record, Ricky was talking about loving heavy metal. And when we hit record, we didn't even know what we were going to talk about, except Ricky just kept on going about the music industry. And then we started talking about the artificiality of it all. And how that's being pushed,
yes.
And how it feels very much like an agenda to demoralize people. We started talking about the Satanism in the music industry. You know, like we don't have an outline. We don't know where this conversation is going to wind up going. Monica Perez was on there. Graham from Grimerica was there. Yeah,
it was great. It was great, and it was funny too, Charlie, because you know I check out your feed. You know, a couple times a day, and you know, I'm always looking for information, and I love Union of the Unwanted. I always thought it was such a cool title, absolutely, and it's so satisfying what you guys discuss. And this one in particular was just great. And I also want to show people another little item. I put this on the show last night. This one that you posted from the Dank Night of the Colorado Secretary of State and her stare, just
you
the
know
way.
What?
Looks like they superimposed her mouth, like the old, you know, Conan O'Brien thing. Like, you know, hey, Conan, what's going on? It's just bizarre.
Totally does. And you know what's even funnier about it is that just coincidentally, I have been in the process of, I live in Colorado. She's from Colorado. I've been in the process of forming a corporation, and I have to go to the Secretary of State. For Colorado's website, and it's her face. And I've been working on this process for the last couple of days. So her face has been there. I see it on X. I see it when I'm trying to do my stupid corporation paperwork. I'm just like, this She's everywhere, and she's got those crazy eyes, I'm telling you.
Oh,
you
man.
Tell a lot about people, man. And you can tell that they're super-duper boosted.
Yeah, yeah, it's absolutely bizarre.
And she's got them. It's such a weird, thing. It's like, I mean, as an anarchist, I would never advocate for this, but like, you know, you're going to get the biggest IRS tax audit when Trump gets in office, right? You understand that, don't you, Jenna? You just put a gigantic target on your face that said, orange man, take out all his frustrations on me the first week he's in office.
Oh, yeah, man. And you know what I love?
I don't want that. I don't want the state solving problems that the state creates. Let me just be crystal clear.
Yeah,
but I mean, like, when it happens to her, because it's going to.
Yep.
It's going to also sort of kind of be funny that
instant karma's going to get you. Yeah, yeah, exactly. I love the Veruca Salt smile at the end. She's like, you know, it's like, whoa, man, if Willy Wonka were around, he would let you go. And Charlie, one of the things I thought was really cool about today's subject on Union of the Unwanted that was so interesting was you guys were talking about rock and roll, and, you know, you get into culture, and so a lot of people, and you sort of touched on this, you know, there's the rock and roll is a perfect example. You've got rock and roll coming in as the, you know, the undercurrent in music and things like that. My dad was a big band swing guy. He loved the power of Gene Krupa on the drums, you know, that swing beat, that swing power. Then you see how that gets utilized later by people like Louis Jordan. They called him the king of the jukebox. There's this drive to it. It's not just sweepy. It's not just waltzy. Young people get attached to that. And so differentiating between what is just something that naturally appeals to, especially young guys, versus maybe young girls might like a different kind of music or whatever, but what drives that stuff, and then it gets, you got to get more intense. And I'll tell you, one of the weirdest experiences I ever had was I saw, when I was 18, I got to see Ministry at the WFNX radio station's second anniversary. They were like the alternative Boston rock station. Mm-hmm. And by that time, you know, part of your teenage identity, if you're a guy, might have something to do with the music you listen to.
Yeah.
And the music had grown more and more intense, especially as punk came around. It was the pushback against the flower power and all that stuff. You know, it's like, no, you know, Black Flag, they've got Damaged. Henry Rollins is punching a mirror. It's not the white flag of peace. He's got a shaved head and he's punching a freaking mirror, and it's the black flag of war, you know? Yeah. So that was our pushback against the baby boomers. Mm-hmm. How much of that was organic and how much of it was pushed, we don't know. And we'll get to Tavistock perhaps in a minute. I want to get your thoughts on this, because there is something that seems organic about wanting to listen to more and more intense music. There is something about kids finding their bonding and their identity and stuff. There's that term, the conformity of rebellion, right? Goes all the way back to James Dean or others, you know? Even the Romantics, they were the rebellious young people at a certain time, you know? So, okay, we got everything from Lord Byron on, who knows, right? But it's that sort of thing that when we see things like rock and roll, I'll never forget, I saw Ministry open up, Ministry play. They were the headline act at this thing. The opening act was this band that I'd never heard of before, a couple German guys with headsets hanging off the rafters of this place in Boston called The Channel with this pre-recorded tape loop stuff. Turned out it was Front 242, and I didn't know it. And then Ministry comes out, and at that time they only had With Sympathy, which is sort of like a synth pop sort of album. It has some darker stuff on it, like Effigy and stuff. Yeah. And of course it was before he came out with Twitch, which was heavily influential on Nine Inch Nails. I mean, essentially, if you listen to Pretty Hate Machine, it's just a continuation of the sounds from Twitch.
Right.
Yeah. And so it turned out that, I was just like blown away. I was like, wow, this is great. But I'll never forget my brother, 7 years my elder, he moved back when Front 242 was playing. And I moved forward. And I realized, I knew what was happening at the time. I was like, I'm breaking away from the really good stuff that my brother brought to me, and I'm starting to discover my own music now. Mm-hmm. And it was the more, I wanted the more intense stuff. So my question to you is, I am very well aware of Tavistock. And I, mm-hmm. having worked in television, I'm also very well aware of the fact that in Hollywood, the military-industrial complex does a lot there.
Yeah.
I worked at Star Trek. How much of Star Trek and the United Federation of Planets came from connections Gene Roddenberry might have had, or it was him as a post-World War II guy thinking the United Nations is the answer. We don't want these nation states fighting. We want this United Nations sort of thing. I don't know. But some of this, they're testing the waters. They see what works and they see what doesn't. What do you think about this? As you have this conversation about music, how much do you think is authentic people, you know, the one-upsmanship getting more intense with music? And I'll end it this way. I broke away from it by my senior year in college. I started dating this young woman, and we all went to go see the Butthole Surfers.
Mm-hmm.
The opening, yeah, at the same club where I saw Ministry 5 years before. And they had an opening act that was so disturbing, I just was like, what am I watching? It was like this, almost like a prepubescent girl running around topless. I mean, she had to have been an adult, I hope. That's what I was expecting. It was a 21 and over show. So she had like painted hair, silver painted teeth, and she was just like smearing stuff on herself, going back and forth on the stage to this thrumming beat. And that's all it was. Yeah. And then the Butthole Surfers came out and they were awful. And they had a projection going over them of like scorpions and tarantulas fighting nature films to freak people out. And then, then they were showing some medical documentary film thing, like an instructional film. And it looked, they were doing some surgical thing. And when they had gauze and I was looking at it and I was like, oh, what are they doing? Like a C-section there? What are they cutting?
Oh my God.
It was a sex change operation.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Literally, they had the image of them cutting off this of a guy. And so the girl I was with, she was loving this. And I realized, I was like, you know what? I'm ashamed that my parents would be just ashamed of me being here. This is awful. What am I doing here?
That's funny.
And yeah, and I told everybody, I was like, I'm going home. I just disconnected from a lot of that stuff and just went with. So anyway, so what do you think about that? About, you know, the way they, and it's a big, big subject. Obviously, you guys had a whole podcast about it. But, you know, the same way they test these political things, they have their plans, they see what works. I think they do the same thing with entertainment. What do you think?
Well, I've always referred to Tavistock as the culture factory. You know, they really created a lot of that. They can make things seem cool when maybe they aren't. You know what I mean? Like they become the arbiter of what is the new thing. And they, you know, they're kind of scientific, kind of social studies. There's now a technology side to it as well, you know? So what you see is that a lot of this culture isn't as authentic as we would like it to be. Some of it is manufactured. And, and we kind of got into that this last week with regard to the music, because some, you know, just talking about the music feeling very lacking in, substance and beat, and you know, like they've taken drums out and it's just that tick 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 tick, tick.
Yes,
you know, like that,
right.
And it's very lazy and everything's auto-tuned, and we just wondered, like, is there going to be some sort of effect where you move back towards authenticity, you know, where you've actually got people playing their own instruments and
being able to
sing without being auto-tuned out, and what is that market? And
I get a chance
to hang out with Brad from Five Times August
at
Acapulco. We went out, had some tacos one night.
He's great.
He's such a super guy. I met him in Austin earlier in the summer, and he's been a guy who's been speaking out against the medical industrial complex with regard to the COVID situation, and also speaking out against musicians that were with the agenda that made you show proof of vaccination to get into shows and things like that. He's been very vocal in calling them out, and he has paid a price for that. In the sense that his career is handicapped because he's not acceptable.
Yeah, he's not going to be invited on any of the big festival circuits, that's for sure, right?
No, so he plays in Acapulco and places like that, and the American Liberty Awards, which is where I met him the first time around, and that's his little niche, which is fantastic. It's a great group of people.
Yeah.
You know, it's a much smaller audience. Yeah. And when you're a musician, you've got to also make a business calculation as well, too. You know, I mean, how are you going to support yourself? Are you going to get involved with the mainstream Hollywood line of approaching music? And if you do, where is your line?
That is a big question. And, you know, it's having worked in L.A., I think I might have mentioned to you, you might not have heard this, Charlie, but, you know, I had dinner a few years ago with Brandon Braga, my old boss from Star Trek, and we were chatting, and he's like, oh, you're a libertarian. I was like, oh, yeah, you are, too. He goes, how'd you know that? I was like, because one day I had a Reason magazine T-shirt on underneath my button-down, and somebody asked what the shirt was, and you answered immediately. You said, oh, it's Reason magazine. It's a libertarian shirt. And I was like, only somebody who reads Reason would know what that was, dude. And he goes, yeah, you got me. And it's very interesting because he has been able – he's one of the few, you know, who has been able to continue working in that field as a writer. Sometimes the actors can – you know, they can become big enough where they can speak out for freedom or whatever. You know, you got a Clint Eastwood, you got maybe Drew Carey, who was successful enough to call himself a libertarian or something like that, you know. But so many of these other folks, if they're workaday musicians or actors or writers, it's a tough decision. They've really got to decide. And, you know, in the long run, the better decision is always the moral decision, the ethical decision. Because if you lose your soul, just so that you can get a car. Seriously? Come on. We'll return with more Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. Thanks for fighting for freedom. Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency made for spending. You can pay your bills with Dash at Spritz.finance. Plus, they can send dollars to your bank if you still need those for something. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and use Dash. You can learn more at Dash.org. That's Dash.org.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
USA News Update. U.S. Capitol Police say they arrested a Gold Star father for heckling President Biden during his State of the Union address. The man's son was a Marine, killed along with 12 other service members and 170 civilians in a suicide attack during the withdrawal from Afghanistan in 2021. Prepare to go to bed early tomorrow. Daylight savings time almost upon us. Sunday, 2 a.m., clocks across America, except for Hawaii and Arizona, will spring forward an hour. A New York judge rejecting Donald Trump's bid to delay paying more than $83 million to writer E. Jean Carroll in a defamation case. That decision leaves Trump with just 3 days to pay or post a bond for the entire $83.3 million judgment. Corey Myers, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live.
We're back on Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. Find us every Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Rumble, Rockfin, and my Twitter /X. That's at Guard Goldsmith. Continuing our conversation with the great Charlie Robinson of the Macro Aggressions podcast.
I lived in Hollywood. I mean, I lived in L.A. for 25 years and knew people in that business, too. And I remember having a conversation with an agent one day, and he was like, he's like, you need to stay as far away from this industry as possible.
Wow.
Because it's filled with some really dangerous people. And I was like, thank you for the advice.
Yeah.
He's like, I can tell you're a good guy. And I just want to make sure that you understand like what you're walking into.
Oh man.
And, yeah. and this was I was like right out of college.
And part of that, Charlie, is just the pressure cooker of so many people wanting the jobs they'll backstab. But the other part of it is that there is a presence there. There are people, there is something there that they utilize. So, for example, we talked about Tavistock. Who's the guy who wrote the book, the really good book on Tavistock?
Daniel Estulin?
Estulin, yeah, great book. And, you know, we hear things about Tavistock might have been influential in getting the Beatles out there. Tavistock might have been, Rolling Stones, exactly. And sure, they're talented people, but there are a lot of talented people out there. Why those guys? Why, you know, so, and you can even go back to H.G. Wells. Great example.
Mm-hmm.
How much of H.G. Wells' popularity was because H.G. Wells was a genius writer who had some great stories? And how much of it was because he was tied in with the One Worlders back then, with the eugenics people back then, right?
Yeah, he was a Fabian socialist, and he was tied to the Round Table. So it's like they make you popular, just like they make Aldous Huxley popular, George Orwell popular. They are all from that same tree. If you think of it like a, if you're like a professional football fan, you're like, it's the Bill Walsh tree. You know, it's this tree of people that are very, very similar.
Yeah. And you get, sometimes you get apostates, right? And, there'll be people who leave. Now, what do you think? You mentioned Orwell. What do you think of Orwell in the long run after his experience in the Spanish Civil War? You know, I mean, there were clearly some very subtle digs at the one world, mindset in 1984, collectivism and so on and so forth. What do you think about him in the long run?
I mean, these guys were all part of this committee of 300, you know, this group of world government guys. And part of it, it made me, they always felt like the PR department for it.
Yeah.
The Huxleys and Orwell, you know, all these guys that were the ones that went on to have these, H.G. Wells, these guys that went on to have these amazing book careers. And you always kind of wonder, like, you know, there's thousands of books are written each year. Why does one book, I say this as an author, why does one particular book just become way more popular than the others?
Right, right.
Well,
right.
Because human beings can be manipulated, i.e. here's Tavistock, and they can make some of these books classics that everybody's read. And why have you read it? Well, you're reading what these one world government people want you to think the future is going to look like, so that you'll be just a little bit more predisposed to accept it because you've always kind of in the back of your mind considered it. Right. And for someone like you, who's got a science fiction writing background, you know what I mean? Like, you've got to, like, you've got just such an amazing opportunity to infuse it with all the stuff that you know about how government really works and just pretend like that's happening a trillion miles away somewhere.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? But
and
trade
you can
wars,
think about,
you know, you start talking about Star Wars and things like that.
Yes.
What's
yes.
at the core of it? It's like international trade disputes. You're like, oh, that's so boring, but so realistic,
it's
too.
Solid. And as a little blip, that's actually one of the areas with those first Star Wars films where I gave George Lucas, I said, well, you know, some of it was cheesy, but that was a solid thing that he did there. That was good. He understood the way that sort of thing works, you know?
Yeah.
And, Yeah, I also think that, you know, you look at the Lone Gunman with their jet into the towers episode, right?
Right.
I mean, you know, it's very clear what's going on there, and it is difficult because, you know, you want to be able to distinguish between stuff that is authentic and stuff that isn't, and you want to give credit to the artists when they deserve it. But I'll give you an example. I still have not had this particular book published, Charlie, that it got accepted by a publisher, and then the publisher's like editor or PR person emailed me and said, oh, I hadn't signed the contract yet. And they said, oh yeah, we're just wondering if you're going to, you know, change your name for the book because, you know, we see your online presence there and, you know, you might want to, you know, we'll go with a different name. So I wrote her back. I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to take your contract. What I am who I am. You know, you would probably get more people. Yeah, like nobody knows my fiction writing at all, right? But, you know, Free State people might know me from my work. So it was ridiculous. And that book still hasn't gotten published. I declined the contract, you know?
That's funny.
Yeah, it's fascinating, Charlie. Well, look, we better get going. Let me just check in real quick with Rockfin. And the Tavistock people are not promoting Rockfin, but they are good people over at Rockfin. They're very, very cool. And lay down any final thoughts or anything like that you have for folks. I can see they'll probably start naming bands that are really crappy bands that are really big. Like, Tavistock all the way with that one, man. But I got to say, I do love the Stones, and I like the psychedelic stuff of the Beatles. So, you know.
I mean, here's the problem is that I've got – if Tavistock was, you know, responsible for the Beatles being popular, their music is fantastic.
Right, exactly.
So, like, I know there's, you know, I Buried Paul and all that stuff, all the subliminal things going on in the background, and I'm interested in that. But I don't know. I don't know how much the Rolling Stones or the Beatles actually needed Tavistock, but they got them.
Right.
they at least understood that the connection that a band has with the audience is very valuable.
And they can use that.
If they can get into that somehow, that's an advantage for them. But I think that they recognize that, like, the Beatles made people faint.
Yeah.
At the airports, you know what I mean? And I know some of that stuff was staged, and I know that some of it was played up a little bit early on, but it became a self-fulfilling prophecy at some point because it was actually happening for real later on in their careers. And then and then the Stones, too? Holy moly.
And again, you know, to go back to this portion we were discussing about entertainment, how much of the, you know, the push towards nihilism, the push towards things like, you know, gangsta rap and stuff like that, how much of it was authentic? How much, because kids are going to be oriented towards more power, more aggression, get out your, you know, express my aggression through my schizophrenic verse words, as the Beasties would say, right? And how much of it is sort of a combination, you know, you got these giant corporations. I don't know. I'm never going to be able to sort of, you know, untie that Gordian knot. I'm not going to be able to figure that out. But it is interesting to find people who are clued into this to say that can be utilized. People can lever off of that. And they're starting to see this, whether it's watching Nicole Kidman eat the bugs or whatever. We know that there are forces that try to either push people in front of us or take the people that we've recognized as popular and suborn them, use them to their advantage, use a vibe, a particular movement that then can then be undercut. The peace movement in the 60s, start a movement, you know, in the canyon, right out in California, whatever it might be, and then start to push that. If they see a nascent, just starting sort of thing, let's give that some money. Let's give Jackson Pollock some paints, some art, you know, some art money. And we'll start this nihilistic form of artwork that is, you know, goes back to Derrida and the Dada-esque movement and the absurdists and stuff like that, but has utterly no value, just like that stuff, you know? Interesting stuff. Final thoughts over at Rockfin and Rumble for Charlie. Charlie, again, while I'm checking it out, again, we want to mention if people want to find you on Twitter/X, the best way to find you on Twitter/X.
At macroaggression.
Cool. Excellent.
And I, yeah. Where I argue with robots. And get myself
robots.
All worked up over nothing. Pretty much.
Well, you know, it's you can be a robot. You can do a little Herbie.
You have to appreciate the absurdity of Twitter. You know, I used to not like it. I've come around to appreciating it now, and so I see there's some amazing people out there that understand that find the humor in all of this insanity, and I appreciate them for it.
Final thought, do you think, what do you think of Musk? Do you think he's straight up, or do you think he's a giant long-term faker out there?
I think he's a giant long-term faker out there. Yeah, I think he makes some great products that are super necessary and needed.
Yeah.
And but his the bulk of his money is tied in some form or fashion to the government.
Exactly.
And I like some of the things he says, but then I don't see the results on X that I would like to see as far as like the unbridled unshackling of all of our accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a real thing. You know, I mean, it's like they've got weights on us.
Yeah.
Oppressed. And it's super annoying just because you just would like to imagine it's kind of a level playing field and it's not. So it'd be nice if he could fix that.
Yeah, exactly.
I do like that he fights with the Google guys. I do like that he fights with there's some parts of him that I find entertaining, but, I feel about him like the same way I feel about Trump, which is like he's a disruptive guy. He sometimes gives my enemies a hard time, so I like that. But yeah. I don't trust him. Like, I don't trust Trump. I don't trust Elon. These aren't people you trust. But what do I take joy in watching them make other people insane? Oh, yeah, that's fun. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
The idea that these people get so, like, broken by Trump is hilarious to me.
It is.
Keith Olbermann is completely coming unhinged. And it is the funniest thing in the world because I remember as a kid watching him do the sports in L.A. And then he went on to SportsCenter. And then he went on to MSNBC. And then now he's an unhinged maniac in his penthouse apartment overlooking Central Park. And Donald Trump is living in his head. And it is the funniest thing on Twitter.
Oh, man. Sometimes I wonder how he can get his arms out of the straitjacket in order to operate the camera. But he has a way. It's a very Houdini-esque sort of thing.
It is funny. He just really takes it so personally in that to me. You know, so again, I'm trying to also find the humor in this, you know?
That's it.
And that's why in the intro that you read of the book where it says, you know, it mentioned it being humorous book, like how do you make this stuff funny?
Yeah, yeah.
There's a way to make it funny.
Absolutely.
But I border on being disrespectful sometimes too. Oh, by the way, the octopus, you mentioned it in there. That image is borrowed from National Reconnaissance Office, NROL-39.
I think I heard you mention that somewhere.
And
that's actually like a government image or something like that, right?
Yeah, it's from the NRO launching a spy satellite with that octopus. The octopus is yellow in that. And instead of the octopus of global control, it says, nothing is beyond our reach.
Wow.
With that yellow octopus on top of the Earth. So that's why it got...
Unbelievable.
That's why.
Unbelievable. Wow. Hey, by the way, Charlie, we had a great comment over in Rumble. Risha M said, I told my own son that listening to his hate music won't serve him well for his future. And, it is tough. You know, it's like Johnny Lydon said, anger is an energy, but you got to be very careful of it, you know? And by the way, one of our good friends, Tom Cooper, he has as his avatar a Misfits Fiend Club, the skull face, you know, from some horror movie originally. Yeah. Yeah. So, and I'm going to check out final comments here. Let's see.
Gardo, have you know, I saw Ministry in concert in 92.
Whoa.
At Lollapalooza.
Wow.
And I saw Sublime in 93 in Huntington Beach, and it was the scariest concert I've ever been to.
Really?
You talked about like energetic music and guys kind of like, there's this kind of pit where they were down in this pit playing and there's like a dance floor and I was standing at the top of it. And I was not really getting ready to go down in there. And I was standing next to my friend and these guys were coming up from the pit and they walked right by us. And as they did, I heard the guy go, dude, check it out. It's my tooth. And he had it in his hand, the palm of his hand, because they were down in there like this seriously scary mosh pit. You know,
where
it's like a hurricane of people.
Yeah.
And Sublime is like, this is before anybody knows who they are. No, this was 92, actually.
Wow. I would never have thought that Sublime would stir that in people. That's
intense.
They were
so good in concert. Oh, my God. Whoa. I could not believe how good they were because I didn't know who they were until I saw them live.
Oh,
and after that, I was like, that band is super talented because they all stopped in the middle of the song, changed instruments, and then just kept playing like they all just kept doing that throughout the night. I was just like, these guys are like really talented, but
that's
it was
awesome.
The scariest, like, white trash crowd ever.
Well, you know, that reminds me of, like,
I'm as white as they get, and I was, like, creeped out. I was like, this is, like, I don't know if you ever spent any time in, like, in Huntington Beach particular. There's a dark white element to it.
Yes.
There's something going on there.
Yes.
And I think we were in one of those, like, concerts. But the energy was, like, off the charts. And it was, some of those you just remember.
Dude, my tooth. Oh, that's funny. Look. I'll tell you a story later when I was in Birmingham just before the U.S. was going to invade Iraq, and I was seeing the Damned, and people realized I was an American, and I was in the mosh pit, and it got pretty scary.
Oh,
it was pretty crazy. Charlie, thanks so much, man.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, so good. And somebody has here, let me see. So we've got, Freegan says, I invented the name The Charlie Robinson Show for Charlie. True story.
Well, that's what my TNT show was. The Charlie Robinson Show. But it went away because they wanted me to do three guests an hour.
Yes, yes, yes.
I just couldn't do that.
You got to do so much research. You just can't go with all these guests and stuff.
There's only so much I can do before I check myself into the nut house, and that would have definitely done it for me. So,
well, you had me on, and I appreciate that, man. That
yeah,
was
I know,
awesome.
And I was so glad that you came on. Thank you for coming on. You were part of the very select 5-week period of doing those daily shows.
That was
a
good,
stressful
man.
Job, though.
Cool. I know, and they handled me beautifully in the backstage. They were really nice, and you know, you were awesome, and thanks for having me.
This was fun.
Yeah, you got it, man. Thank you so much. And by the way, we got Pork Fest coming up. I hope you can make it at the end of June.
I hope so, too.
It'll be great. Yeah, Tony will be there hopefully, and Billy Ray hopefully, maybe Don Jeffries. And it'll be up in northern New Hampshire. And Carla will welcome you.
I met Carla. Yep, Carla's my buddy now. We met at an Acapulco. She's the coolest.
Oh,
yep.
She is great. I owe her not a lot of money, but a lot of high fives, that's for sure. So, Charlie, I give you the high five. Thank you, brother. I'll leave this with you for just a minute, and then I'll come back. And then we'll say fare thee well. Okay. One might be bewildered to discover that some principled defenders of the right to keep and bear arms are supporting a Georgia bill that ostensibly puts state power behind the right to self-defense, but which actually undercuts other fundamental rights. Hi, everyone. I'm Gardner Goldsmith for MRC TV. Yeah, you know, this is a perplexing, troubling situation for many people who believe in rights. Bearing Arms' Cam Edwards reports on the status of this Georgia legislation. Quote, under HB 1364, introduced by Representative Martin Momtahan, property owners who forbid lawful concealed carry would assume responsibility for the safety of their customers, which means they would be liable for any injuries suffered if they're unable to protect themselves on the premises. Well, such a proposal might appeal to people who recall the horrific 1991 experience of Susanna Huff, who had a firearm in her car, but because Texas law at the time forbade it, she didn't bring the weapon into the Killeen, Texas restaurant where a mass shooter soon killed 24 people. Or it might appeal to people who recall the more recent fact that numerous victims of a mass shooter in Lewiston, Maine were inside a bowling alley that had a sign on the door indicating it was gun-free. As crime researcher John Lott has explained, people with criminally violent intent tend to avoid places where they can reasonably surmise that potential victims might be armed. But those who might support this bill in Georgia or the idea of proposing similar legislation elsewhere, for example, the Wyoming House just passed a wide block of gun-free zones on government property, but it doesn't apply to private choice on private property. While supporters in Georgia or potentially in other states might want to reconsider and consider the rights they attack when pushing this kind of bill. Edwards refers to Doug Richards' TV 11 Atlanta report on the proposal, which features quotes from Representative Montahan.
All we want to make sure is if you're in the store or you're anywhere and that has a no gun sign, then that store needs to understand that they have absolute custodial care of that person.
In other words, this bill claims for the state the power to tell a property owner and his potential client that they can't engage in freedom of association on their own terms. The terms are being imposed by the government. When someone owns private property and asks another person to enter on certain terms, he has a right to ask, and the potential visitor has a right to decline. Such freedom allows others to see and test those earlier arrangements. By claiming that the property owner would take on the obligation of custodial care when a customer enters his private property, Mr. Montahan is imposing his own will on the others. It's the politician telling the property owner that he takes on that obligation. In fact, when two parties agree to one gaining admittance into the property of another, the other takes on contractual care, not state-mandated custodial care. And this bill breaches their right to engage in contracts on their own terms. Let me offer an example. For many of our teenage years, my brother and I used to swim in a quarry close to our house. And the owners, who were attorneys, allowed us to go once our family paid $20 and signed a waiver of liability, stipulating that if we got hurt there, the owner wouldn't be liable for our actions. This Georgia bill stands in complete contradistinction from that privately reached form of agreement. It implies that private property is somehow public.
Thanks for listening to Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.